Last time on The Atheists, the Bible, and No Wardrobe, we read from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 20. God and his new BFF Abram run a scam involving Abram's wife slash half-sister. Could they be bigger dicks if they tried?
Hello and welcome back to The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast. That summary that you did, the recap, that's...
I was trying not to be angry.
I know. I was like,
Don't record angry.
We're starting off back. We're all done with chapter 12. We actually got through one whole chapter, so we're going to attempt it again, because we are now on to chapter 13.
Lucky number 13.
Yes.
I'm surprised they didn't
remove the number 13 from the book and just go 12, 14. No 13. There's no chapter 13.
Or that they just did things in sevens.
Yeah.
Okay, 13 verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south.
Why is Lot there still?
He's that annoying nephew. He's hanging around.
Yeah.
He's hoping to inherit stuff, I guess.
I guess so. He's being a real dick, just hanging around, just third wheel, you know. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. That's from the last scam they just pulled.
Oh yeah, yeah. little scheme they've got going there.
Yeah.
God, yeah. 13:3. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai.
So he backtracked.
He did a big circle. Okay. I thought he was supposed to leave there.
I thought he was. Wouldn't you take your tent with you?
God.
Wait a second. Where his tent had been. Okay, no, maybe he did take his tent with you. He came to us like, hey, there's the fire pit I made. There's the fire pit I made. Oh, and there's the place where I killed those cattle. Yeah. Yeah, that's the spot. Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe the famine's over.
Yeah, maybe the famine's over.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Oh, there we go.
Yep. There's his altar again. 13:4. Yep. Unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Hey, Lord, hey, that scam you put us up to, it worked out excellent. Excellente. You're the man. You know how to scam people. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's all like gold chains and
what's his baker's face when I think about this line?
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Jim Baker. This is a Jim Baker thing. It's like, yeah, we got them. We scammed them good. Prison?
They bought all our freeze-dried potato soup and macaroni and cheese. Yeah. 13:5. And Lot. I'm the annoying nephew. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents.
So he had his own shit.
That's right. He was probably running his own.
He's running his own scam. Yeah. He's running a scam. Where was Lot when all that other stuff was going down? Where were they? Did they just ignore Lot? Because he's completely absent in the last one.
He was busy tagging the pyramid and.
Yeah, he's out. And, yeah, putting on his drawing shit on people's faces. Yeah.
He was the one distributing the freeze-dried potato soup.
They sent him out doing all the hard labor. And then he was getting a little on the something on the side. Yeah, I'll trade you this bucket of shit for one of those cows.
On the trip back, Lot's like, yeah, so when am I going to be my own distributor? You know, when am I going to have my own Amway branch in this thing?
Yeah.
And Abram's like, yeah, I don't know. You keep working for me. Okay. I don't know. I want to do my own thing, uncle.
Mm-hmm. 13:6. I thought you were 13:5. I thought we just.
I just read.
Oh, okay.
Five.
Okay.
Yeah, because we say Lot. He has
the flocks
has
and the tents.
Stuff.
Okay.
He's got
okay.
some stuff. You know?
Right. Okay.
He's got his own Amway thing going.
I got to really start marking where I left off.
Well,
13:6, and the land was not available. No, it was not. Not available. I'm sorry, we're not available to take your call right now. 13:6, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. So basically they're saying that they had too much stuff in too small of an area. They all went to Rhode Island, and they were like trying to all put all their cattle in Rhode Island, and Rhode Island was just too small. Either that or they were all just like on the little, there's a patch of land in between two pieces of waters about a mile, not even a mile across. And it's like, oh, this land is just like too small for us.
I think the next verse is probably a little closer to the truth.
Oh, okay.
I don't think, you know, I mean, that's the excuse they're giving, mm-hmm. but the reason is in 13:7.
Okay.
And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled there in the land. So it's actually some infighting. They're blaming the herdsmen, but I think that Abraham and Lot are like, yeah, I'm getting kind of
this town ain't big enough for the both of us.
Both of us, exactly.
Yeah. That's what it boils down to. That's this town ain't big enough for the both of us. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You gonna leave town or we're gonna shoot the guns and make you leave. let's see here. 13:8, and Abram said unto Lot, that's still a terrible name. That's something you park your car in. There, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdman and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. So Abram is saying unto Lot and everybody else, saying, hey, guys, fucking knock it off. Okay? Hey, we're all fucking related here. We're out to scam them. Stop fucking fighting amongst everybody else. I'm sorry
Don't make me turn this caravan around.
Don't make me turn the hose on, you assholes! I'm sorry if I blew the speakers out on anybody's car or whatever they're listening to. I try to yell away from the microphone so it was at least loud but not, you know.
Meanwhile, Lot's in the back. He's been singing 99 bottles of beer on the wall the whole way down to Egypt and back. Abraham's like, oh God, I can't stand that kid. 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. Or if thou departest to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. I still say he's probably, you know,
he's trying to split them up.
Using some reverse psychology here. He's saying, look, just get away from me. I don't care. I don't care which way you go. You go one way. I'm going to go the other way.
Whatever way you go, I'll go the opposite. I don't care. You go to the east, I'll go to the west. You go on that side, I'll go on this side. Let's just take our pieces of our shit and we'll just separate.
See, yeah, the more that the story unfolds, you realize that they're just fucking sick of each other.
Yeah. This is like a bad marriage, you know, that's just lasted too long. It's like, I'm going to take all my friends and you take all your friends and I'll see ya.
I think he only took Lot because then he could carry more shit.
Yeah, apparently. 13:10. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Like, why didn't he just say he looked up? I mean, he lifted up his eyes. Were his eyes like in a box or something? He had to lift them up?
Saw that in a movie once.
It was a creepy movie. And behold, all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere. I'll read that again. That it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like that. Like the land of Egypt, has thou comest unto Zoar. Okay.
So God
gives them a vision.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
He knew he was going to destroy it before he destroys it. So this doesn't, you know, it's a big spoiler, God. Don't get the, hey, build up to it. Build up to the story. You were already starting to build up to it, but then all of a sudden you're just like, or then Lot already knew that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed before he destroys it. So when he later comes and tells him Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be destroyed, it's something he already knew. I never thought about this. This line right there is already foretelling that he already knew what was going to happen. So him having to, we'll wait till we get that far. My head is about to explode.
This is like really the most of the trailers coming out of Hollywood these days. I sit there and I watch a trailer for a movie, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just saw 3/4 of the movie. I probably saw the ending of the movie in the trailer.
Yeah.
And it, you know, you have no, this is a case of you have no faith in your product. You have no faith in your story that you have to show us the big climactic ending.
Yep. And the best parts. And you show us all the best parts in the trailer.
Yep. We can just wrap it up here, folks.
Yeah. We could summarize the whole movie into a trailer. That's it.
So Lot's basically seeing this really, really great land. You mm-hmm. know, it's a really beautiful valley. There's lots of water. He's like, yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So 13 and 11, then Lot shows him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other.
Oh.
Awesome.
All right. You guys go one way. You know what? I changed my mind. You guys go that way. I'm going to go over here because I know what's going to happen. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen over there. why would I know that? I'm just saying. This way looks really nice. I'll take this way. You know, trying to, you know. Unless he used reverse psychology. I was like, no, that way looks better. You should take that way. I'll take the crappier one over here. 13:12. Abram, I'm going to keep calling him Adam for some reason. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. He's pitching his tent again. He's pitching a tent towards Sodom. he knows what's going on there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, evidently it's common knowledge, because in 13:13 it says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly.
Why does he care? Because he's not going to do anything about it. He's not going to flood the earth again, so why does he care? It says here, this verse doesn't say what the Sodomites did to make such an exceedingly great sinners, though most of the Bible believers quote Sodomite as homosexual, but later on in Ezekiel 16:49, which I kind of foreshadowed in the previous episode or show, which claims the sin of Sodom was pride, gluttony, sloth, greed, and the failure to help the poor. Nothing about
inhospitality.
Inhospitality. Right. There is nothing there about sex. Absolutely nothing there about homosexuality.
No. No, except that, well, again, I won't go forward.
Yeah.
In the actual story, there's strange ways these things are worded. Imagine that.
Yeah. Imagine that. Weird things are mentioned in this book. Yeah. 13:14, and the Lord said unto Abram, that Lot was separated from him. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. Look around you, man. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
But I thought that Lot went east.
Yeah, he did say he went east. I'm pretty certain he said that he went eastward. Yeah, it says Lot journeyed east and separated himself from the other. But now he's saying, okay, he's went north, south, east, and west.
Yeah.
Great. So he's walking in a circle. You have Lot walking in a goddamn fucking circle.
No, Abram.
Sorry. Abram. Whatever his fucking guy's name is.
And God waits to talk to Abram until after Lot leaves.
Yeah.
They have these conversations when no one else is around.
Yeah, I've noticed that. This is becoming very common. It's like, oh, yeah, God, God doesn't want to show anybody else that he's around, so he's just like, oh, he's alone. I'll just pop in over there and make it a special appearance. Oh, proof? Oh, he won't need proof. He'll just believe me.
Yeah, according to this, it looks like he's definitely giving Abram everything that even Lot has.
Mm-hmm.
13:15, for all the land which thou seest, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed forever.
Forever. Forever is a long time, dude. If you're saying you're going to give it to him forever, that means you're going to make him a god so he can have it forever? I'm just saying.
Well, it doesn't give him a mile marker. He just says you're getting all of it.
Everything you see, it's yours. The footnote here is God gives Abram and his descendants all the land of Canaan forever, quote unquote. This is a promise that is still used to justify the end-ending battles over the land in the Middle East.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That is so disgusting. But according to Acts 7:5 and Hebrews 11:13, God's promise to Abraham was not fulfilled. And of course, for most of the time after the promise was made, the land was controlled by other people.
Yep. So, yeah. God lied. Another lie from God. Imagine that.
Well, I think this is also where dominionists and Christians come in, and they say, first of all, you have to be good to Israel. And second of all, they say, these are the things that we can claim too, because we're adopted sons.
Mm-hmm.
This is looking beyond just today and into the future and into... Anyway, it's garbage.
So, yeah, it's just garbage. 13:6, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. So if you can name every atom of air, so basically saying if you can name every molecule of dust, then you're numbered by that. You'll have numbered to that same number. You'll only be limited by that many number of people. You know, in just one small handful of dust or dirt or whatever, you get like billions, or not, I know, I mean billions, quite a bit. It, just in a handful, you know.
I would think that you could get several hundred thousand or 100,000 at least in a handful of dirt granules of dirt. I would think that would be possible. Yes.
Yeah. So to say that you can, if you're going to measure that much from there to wherever you're saying is where as far as he can see, then why isn't that part of the part of the earth overpopulated with 7 billion or quadrillion or whatever, or octillion, just in that one region alone right now?
Well, and this is specifically a promise to Abraham about the Hebrew people, which will become the Hebrew or Israelites. 13:17, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee.
The breadth of it. Breadth?
Length and breadth. I mean, width and height. You know, width and length.
Okay. It says breadth.
Breadth.
I'm just trying to figure what breadth means.
Breadth.
It sounds like it's like, hold your breath and walk as far as you get, and then when you let your air out, that's as much as you get. One, two. Oh, shit. I can't hold my breath that long.
But evidently, he's supposed to walk the whole thing.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah,
go ahead and walk that perimeter of everything you see.
Walk the perimeter of everything you can see, yeah. 13:18. And Abram removed his tent. Oh, man, he removed his tent. No one wants to see that, Abram. Go put that tent away. Woo! And Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of
Mamre,
which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So what happened to his other? So he's left one altar behind, and he's got another. He's gonna make a new altar someplace else.
Yep.
Oh, I guess God doesn't care where he talks to him. You know, the whole altar thing I never understood, really. Because why would you have to build an altar for people to know, for your imaginary sky wizard or your lord to know where you are. I mean, doesn't he already know? What's the significance of having to build a temple if your god already knows where you are all the time?
I don't know. I almost wonder if it's more like a marker, just a pile of stones.
Yeah, it could just be a mile marker at this point. It might as well just be a mile marker.
I kind of think that might be what it is.
Yeah. I can't believe it. We got through a whole chapter.
Wow.
I know, right?
Do we still have time?
Yeah, we got time. We got time. We got lots of time. Well, not lots, but we got time.
There you go.
All right, let's move on to Genesis 14.
Genesis 14, 1. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar,
Keldor, take me away.
Kelgon, king of Elon.
Kelgon, take me away.
And Tidal, king of the Mighty Bowl Nation.
Tidal Bowl.
Tidy Bowl.
Yeah. Tidy Bowl.
Okay. My apologies, but that went Kedorlaomer.
I think it's, yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to call him Cheddar Cheese. I'm just saying. It's just Cheddar. Cheddar King of Elam.
King of Edom.
Yeah. Elam.
Which is also cheese.
Yeah, it's also cheese.
Tidy Bowl and the Tidy Bowl.
And
man.
The Tidy Bowl, man.
Nations.
Yeah. These weird nations. 14:2. That these made war with Bera King of Sodom and Brisha King of Gomorrah and Sidon King of Amada and Shebaber, king of Ziboni. I don't know. Zibom, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. Okay, so everybody's at war now. So
exactly.
It does like,
well,
of course.
Now that sounds normal. That's,
yeah, now we're back into some normalcy.
The Middle East is finally doing what it's supposed to do, I guess.
Everybody's like, and God's going, war.
You notice that the war, all the wars, all the shit starts going down once Abram moves into town.
Yeah.
Coincidence?
Coincidence? I think
Wait,
not.
That's actually a fallical. That's a fallical love to see. Sorry.
That's okay.
Logical fallacy.
That's all right.
All right. 14:3. All these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea.
Like no other seas have salt in them. Just that one.
Yep.
14:4. 12 years they served Childemadora. Childemadora.
That's cheddar.
Cheddar. I'm just calling it cheddar from now on. You want to look it up? Go fucking ahead. I don't care. Cheddar. I'm in the serve cheddar, and in the 13th year they rebelled. Well, why? You know why? Because it all smells like cheese there. There's no crackers, so there's lots of cheese, no crackers. They need to rebel. I'm just saying. If I lived in, I live in a state that's known for milk and cheese. And if there was no crackers, I would rebel too.
You can't blame them because you get really backed up if you have too much cheese.
That's what I hear.
You get constipated and you get cranky.
Yeah, well, I get cranky anyway. Doesn't matter.
14:5, and in the 14th year came Cheddar and the kings that were with him and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth, Carnaim and the Zuzim in Ham and the Emmons in Shaveh, Kiriat. You know why they're mad? Nobody can pronounce the fucking names.
How do you pronounce your name? You must pronounce it wrong. Let's go to war.
Exactly.
And it says the Zumas in Ham. And it says the Zumas is in Ham. I hope that's a good seasoning. If that's not a good seasoning, it's no wonder they're also pissed off because you fucked up my ham. You don't fuck up a man's ham. That's just wrong. You don't mess with a man's ham.
Oh, you don't.
No. 14:6. And the Horites, see, there's the whores again. The Horites in their Mount Seri into Elpran, which is by the wilderness. Over here, if you look off to the left, over by the wilderness, you'll see Seir and Elprim off just a little off to the left. They're a little closer to the wilderness, and the Horites. Well, that's where we'll be going. That's where all the guys will be going. We're going over to the Horites,
and here in the wilderness is the very dangerous and scary Horites.
Yes. The Horites. That's where the guys go. You know, they make sure their credit cards are up to date. And if they got cash, lots of it, because, well, they're Horites, you know.
Are you sure you're really going to deer camp?
Yep. That's where I'm going, all right. See you in about 2 weeks. Make sure you have all your shots.
14:7, and they returned and came to Enmishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazmatar.
Hazmat suit. It's a hazmat suit. Hazatanamora.
Yeah. Hazatanamora.
Hooray, hooray, Hazatanamora, hooray, hooray. In 14:7, which you just read, the Elamites were smitten before Amalekite, whom they descended, was born. Elamite was the grandson of Esau. That's from Genesis 36:12. We haven't got
Amalek and
Amalek.
Esau.
I'm sorry, yes. Amalek.
No, that's fine.
Amtrak. I'm going to call him Amtrak.
Amtrak.
And he's Amtrak.
Esau is the father of David.
Yeah.
I think
that's further into Genesis, so we're not quite that far, but we're getting
so
there.
So we have Amalekites before Amalek was born.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so there's another contradiction. We got Amalekites before they're even supposed to be there. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. 14:8, and there went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zamboni, I don't know.
The Zamboni.
Everybody wants to ride the Zamboni. It's a boring job, but everybody wants to ride the Zamboni. And the king of Zamboni, or Ziboni, and whatever his name is, and the king of Bela, the same, and in parentheses, the same as Zor. Okay, Bela and Zor are the same people now? Are the same places? I don't know. And they joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim. So maybe this is in the shadow of a mountain. Everybody's getting to the bottom of the mountain. It's like this is the story of the king under the mountain, you know, from the Hobbit.
I gotta say this is very much like Lord of the Rings. How are we? This is a big battle, and we've got a bunch of armies, mm-hmm. and everybody's just going to town.
Yep.
Because there's stinky cheddar. I don't know, because in 14:9, with Cheddar, the king of Elam, and with the Tidy Bowl, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings with five. Well, there's only usually four kings in the deck.
Yeah.
If you have five kings in your hand, then
you're playing canasta.
You're yeah, or pinochle.
Or pinochle.
I guess maybe this is pinochle.
Yeah, maybe they're all playing pinochle.
Okay, I've totally lost track. I have no idea what's going on. None. Just that. Well, 14:10. Go right ahead.
We're at 14. Wait a minute. Are we that far already?
Oh yeah, we are.
Oh, I was.
We're sailing through this.
Oh wow. Okay. I was thinking we were further back for some reason.
We have some side note here too. 14,
yeah.
Eight,
oh, there was
that
14.
15.
Yeah, there's 14, 8 through 15 there. Let's see here. I didn't mark where we were.
You have 14:10 if you want
okay.
to read it.
Sure.
Right.
I could have swore we needed to read 8, but I guess. Oh no, I just read that. The same as Zor.
Yeah.
Read 9.
Yeah.
Okay. 10. Right. Okay. I had to think for a second. Like this stuff is just like it's all turning into mush. It's all turning into mush. No wonder no one reads this shit. It's 14:10, and the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits.
Awesome.
Wow. Siddim was full of slime pits, and the king of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, and fell there, and that they remained fled to the mountain. It's slime pits. So we're playing Minecraft now.
Evidently, do they mean swamps?
I guess so. Are there swamps there? Maybe they just.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what a slime pit would be, but I know what slimy means. 14 and 11, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals. Well, hello.
And went their way.
Went their way.
Yeah, the victuals and took all their victuals, all their good and all their what the hell is a victuals?
Their rheumatiz medicine too.
I've got to find out what this is. I have no idea what a victual is and all their victuals. You know, it sounds to me like it sounds like they're just taking all their miscellaneous goods at this point.
Well, I said victuals usually means something like your food, your supplies.
Yeah, that's exactly what it means.
It's a word I was saying, Jed Clampett, but it's kind of
might have just said victuals.
Something that Granny would say, victuals.
Yeah, victuals. Rheumatism medicine. Says food or provisions.
Yep.
Anything typically prepared for consumption. I think they all had consumptions. They all ended up in the slime pits. Oh, well, actually, you know what? We're past our halfway mark, or 30-minute mark already.
Oh, okay.
So, I know you guys are all so eager to find out how this ends up. I guess you're going to have to wait until we put out the next one. So...
will the armies that are in the slime pit live? Now
will Sodom and Gomorrah actually stay standing? Will Lot find his way to out of the slime pit? We'll find out all this and next week on our fine next episode of Soap. Oh wait, no, that's the Bible. Sorry. If you want to contact us and you want to follow us on Twitter, we're at twitter.com/ABANW podcast. And we're on Patreon. If you would like to donate a few dollars, that's patreon.com/ABANDNW. That's Patreon, patreon.com/ABANDNW. If you're on Facebook and you like the show, really like the show, by going there and hitting the like button on facebook.com/ABANDNW. NW, our blog posts, which you can find the shows at, and all the links to the shows on iTunes, Spreaker, and Stitcher. That's at abandnw.wordpress.com. And you can also find the show, like I said, on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker. If you would like to leave us a comment there or at least a thumbs up or whatever, go ahead and do that there. But if you have comments, questions, love or hate mail, you can send it to us over here at tatbanw@gmail.com. That's tatbanw@gmail.com. And be sure to check out our main show, Packard Pokes At, which you can find on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and on YouTube. And remember to leave a 5-star review, 5 stars and a review on iTunes for us over there as well. So until next time, this has been The Atheists,
The Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.